The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellows, for that. That's good. Take your Bible and go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so as we speak tonight on the importance of your thoughts, let's understand that we're supposed to walk guard around our heart. Now, why are we supposed to walk guard around our heart? We're supposed to walk guard around our heart because out of that heart come the very issues, the word issues, decisions, the things that you decide on. Out of that heart come the very decisions of life. Solomon knew what he was talking about when in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, God used him to pen, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so as we begin to think in our heart, somebody said this in studying that which is the mind, that over 10,000 thoughts go through the mind every single day. Somebody says that you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And that's very true. Another person said that your thoughts produce an action. Your action produces a habit. Your habit produces a lifestyle. The Bible talks about how God feels about that which is our thoughts. In the book of Ezekiel, it's recorded in chapter 8 and verse 12 that Ezekiel speaks, of course, as how God views our thought life. He examines our thought life and he says the chambers of the imaginary. And so a person in their thought life can only be what they imagine. Words, if you would please, will begin to describe what a person imagines. Have you ever done this? Have you ever told somebody something clean, and as you're telling somebody something clean, and in honestly, in your heart, you were presenting it as something clean. But when you said it, they took it as something dirty. Now why? Because that is their thought life. Okay? And so we understand this. We understand that a person can utter things from that which is their mind, but as you utter things from that which is your mind, people may take them differently. It was Sir Francis Bacon that said this. He said, "You tell me what the young people are thinking today, and I'll show you what our country will be like tomorrow." And so we have to be careful that we train our thoughts to go the right direction. And that is very important. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." Proverbs, or the book of Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And so a man's imaginary can lead to some very, very dangerous things. Have you ever seen people talking in the hallway and you thought they were talking about you? Have you ever read something and you thought that it was all about you? Have you ever again heard somebody say something and yet your thought life, your imaginary, jumped to a total different course? Now I want to talk to you about your thought life tonight, because your thought life is very important to God. God looks at your thought life. God examines your thought life. There is nothing that is hidden from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand that God knows our thoughts. Let me give you some thoughts to think about tonight, and that is this. Statement number one, we become what we think upon. We become what we think upon. The Bible says in Psalm 51 in verse 10, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So even David understood that he needed a clean heart. Again, because out of the heart come the issues or the decisions, if you will, please, of life. So David comes to that which is God, and he said, "Now God, you've got to work inside of me to clean up my mind. You've got to work inside of me to clean up my heart." Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now wait a minute. The Bible says to eat and drink, saith, it says, "He to thee," but his heart is not with me. So here's a person that's going through the functionability of being able to drink something. They're going through the activity of being able to eat something. Yet they're going through a motion, but yet God says, even though you go through the motion of drinking or the motion of eating, He said, I know your heart is not with me. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, that will keep him in perfect peace. Now, how do you have perfect peace? The word perfect is also a word that would describe something that's very mature. So how do you have a perfect peace? How do you have a mature peace? How do you have a peace that is not childlike, that's here today and gone tomorrow? How do you have a perfect peace? Well, the Bible says, thou shalt keep it in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So where you put your trust is where you have peace. Most people do not put their trust in someone that they do not have peace in. So where you put your trust shows your peace. If you do not trust the super fast type of roller coaster that you find at Six Flags, then you don't have peace about getting on it. So we understand that peace and trust go hand in hand. When you trust your doctor, you have peace about sitting in the dental chair. When you trust your doctor, you have peace about the surgery that they're going to perform. When you have peace, if you would please, or when you have trust in your pastor, then you have peace that he would direct you the right direction. When you have a trust in your Sunday school teacher, then you have peace that they're going to give you seeds of wisdom in order to go that direction. All right? And so we understand that behind our thoughts, there are all sorts of things, as we read just a moment ago in Proverbs chapter 23, number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right? And so we understand that there is considerations that we take in our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You talk to a man that's full of pride, and you'll find out very quickly he's full of pride because he's always talking down someone else and always talking up himself. He always belittles somebody else in order to make himself look good. What is that? That's a man of pride. All right? Where is that taking place? It's taking place in the heart. You talk to somebody and they have a lustful heart. All of a sudden, it begins to come out in the conversation as they begin to have loose talk. That comes out in the conversation. Why? It's in the heart. You have somebody that is full of envy and they're always envious of someone else. Can I tell you, it's going to be revealed in the talk. You have somebody that's jealous. It's going to be revealed in the talk. You have somebody that is a gossiper. By the way, let me help you a little bit with gossip tonight. Can I help you just a little bit to understand if somebody is talking bad about someone else in your presence, that same person is going to talk bad about you in your absence. Because a person that has a critical attitude shows who they are. It's not in accordance to who they're with. Because they think that they're elevated above somebody else. All right, so understand tonight that a person that has trouble with gossip, or a person that has trouble with malice, or a person that has trouble with anger, a person that has trouble with bitterness, or a person that has trouble with resentment. Can I tell you tonight that behind every sin there is a thought? As a man thinketh in his heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now sin is the very first thing that's conceived inside of the mind. Brother Roloff used to say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so when we allow our minds to be idle, what takes place is we begin to go and gravitate to the lowest state of thinking. Because we have nothing that is occupying our mind. And that's where foolish talk comes in. That's where thoughts come in that are uttered from the lips that are not well thought through. You know, the Bible says that a wise man will holdeth his word to the very end. So a wise person is a person that is of little talk, but yet when he does talk, I promise you that it is that of wisdom and that of certainty. We understand tonight that we become what we think upon. Statement number one. Statement number two, we build a treasury by what we think upon. We build a treasure. I can think back many years ago of living on that 280-acre farm as I was raised on that 280-acre farm. And can I tell you, those thoughts, Brother Nash, about that farm is a treasure inside of my heart. I can think about wonderful relationships that God has allowed me to have all the years of my life with different people that God has personally brought across my path. And can I tell you tonight that they are treasures that are deep embedded into that which is the confines of my heart. Can I tell you tonight, I can think about wonderful trips that we have taken as a family, and those are treasuries. Can I tell you tonight that as we talk about different things, and of course, I was over the Salazar's house the other night, and I appreciate them. And so Saturday evening, we spent the evening together, and of course, Sylvia prepared this wonderful, lavish meal, and it was good. I liked it, and we sat there, and we ate, and then we talked about Bible verses and talked about Bible truth. Okay, that'd be a memory that I carry, a treasure, if you will. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, the Bible says, it says, either make the tree good. It says, now watch what it says, or listen to it. It says, his fruit is good. So either make the tree good and his fruit is good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit is corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. So if a person is speaking corruptly, it's because that's their tree. That's who they are. If a person is speaking that which is good, because that's who they are. Notice this, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? It's hard for an evil man to speak good things, because that's not who he is. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever is inside eventually will come out. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, the Bible says, a good man, it says, out of a good treasure, it says, of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. And so the real you shows up, get a load of this, when you most likely do not expect him. It's the time when all of a sudden the pressure's on that the real you shows up. It's the time when the frustration is turned up high when the real you shows up. It is time all of a sudden when it seems like that you're standing all alone and you think that everybody has forsaken you when the real you shows up. When all of a sudden somebody makes a decision that you don't agree with, do you treat them with grace or criticism? It is the real you showing up. When all of a sudden your wife does not please you, all of a sudden your husband does not please you, and it seems like that things are intense or intensified around the house, what is that? That is the real you showing up. Now, can I say tonight that we become what we think? Statement number two, we build a treasury, if you will, please, by what we think upon. A treasury is something that you go in. By the way, garbage in, garbage out. Truth in, truth out. Lies in, lies out. Anger in, anger out. Resentment in, resentment out. Envy in, envy out. Unkindness in, unkindness out. That which is a criticalness in, a criticalness out. You cannot get away from what is on the inside. The problem is not with your Sunday school teacher tonight. The problem is not with the preacher tonight. The problem is not with the deacon tonight. The problem is not with the soul winner tonight. The problem is not with the bus captain tonight. The problem, dear friend, is with you. Because you are the one that is having the issues inside of the heart. And if your heart is speaking that which is wrong, then draw a circle around yourself and you go to an almighty God and you say to an almighty God, help me. So many times you'll use your wife as a scapegoat, and you'll use your husband as a scapegoat, and you'll use your children or your circumstances as a scapegoat. I'm telling you tonight, they're not the problem. The problem is you. And it's funny how at home you can't get along with your wife, but at work you get along with everybody. Isn't it funny that at home you can't get along with your husband, but at work where you work, you get along with everybody? Isn't it funny how you cannot get along with your children, but you're nice to everybody else's children? There's something not right there. Isn't something how you can be kind and speak well of everybody else's pastor, but you can't speak kind and well of your own pastor? Something is wrong there. Isn't something how you can say that everybody else in every other church has a kind, understanding deacon, but we don't have a kind, understanding deacon in our church? Something is wrong. Isn't something how we critique the guys on the platform and we say, we say we don't like it when they cross their legs. They always cross their legs. You know, okay, switch. Ready? One, two, three, go. Isn't that neat? But they always cross their, you know, and you say, well, I don't like it when they cross their leg that away, or I don't like it when they cross their leg that away, or I don't like it when they don't cross their leg, and I don't like it the way that Brother Nash combs his hair, and I don't like it the way Brother Jonathan smiles all the time, and I don't like it the way Brother Palmore, if I can lead singing, I can lead singing, Brother Palmore, I tell you for sure. Well, I don't like it, man. I look up there and I see that which is the light beaming off of Brother Crutcher's head. That bothers me. I don't like it because Brother Butler, you know, he's got this hair that's always combed just so right. It bothers me. Hey, can I tell you, I love you in the name of the Lord. Get over it. Stop being somebody that's penny ante. Stop being somebody that's picking everything apart. Get over it. Love God. Pour yourself into God. Let God pour himself into you. You love everybody that's a brother and a sister in Christ. You thank God for them. You rise up. You encourage them. You be close to them. You meet their need. You rise up. You be what you're supposed to be to them. Let God be God. You help them. You love them. You encourage them. You pray for them. You be beside them. You be the church member you ought to be. I'm saying tonight that we become what we think upon. Statement number two, we build a treasury by what we think upon. Statement number three, we walk in the flesh or the spirit by the choices of our thinking. You choose. Nobody is in control of your mind like you are. Nobody controls your lips but you. You ever do this? Man, I said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Then my question to you would be, why did you? Why did you? Well, I said that and I hurt somebody's feelings. Then why did you say it? Well, I said that and it caused a young believer to stumble and fall. And I should have been wiser than that, and I shouldn't have said that. Then apologize. If you were man enough to say it, you ought to be man enough to apologize and get it right. I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what we do. When we walk in the flesh or we walk in the spirit, it's simply by choice of our thinking. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 5. The Bible says, and they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. You know, I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents were not saved. I wanted my parents saved. Oftentimes I lay on my bed and say, God, if you want to take me to heaven right now, if that's what it takes for my parents to hear the gospel, receive Christ, so that I could be assured of the fact that they go to heaven, I freely and gladly give you my life. I wanted my parents saved so bad I could taste it. Both my parents had cancer. Both of my parents were facing certain death. I didn't want my parents to die and burn in hell. By the way, hell is real. And I was a saved boy. I didn't want my parents to die and burn in hell. So many times in earnestness As I laid upon my bed at night, I would weep for my parents to get saved. I'd weep for somebody to be able to reach them with the gospel. And oh, so many times over, I would say, "Dear God, if you want to snuff my life out right now so that they would come to a funeral and hear a gospel message so that they would receive Christ, Lord, I would gladly give you that. I just don't want my mama and I don't want my daddy to die and burn in hell." Now, can I say tonight, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit," capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, "shall mind the things of the Spirit." Can I say tonight that what you're thinking shows who you're minding? Right. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So when we mind the things of the flesh, God says that we get only what the flesh can give. What is it? Death. But when we mind the thing, by the way, that's death in a relationship. That's death in your marriage. That is death, if you would please, in your business. That is death with your students that you teach in the academy or in the college. That is death with your bus kids. That is death, if you would please, with your own very children. When we mind the things of the flesh, there's only one thing that's going to come out of it: death. But the Bible says when we mind those things which are of the Spirit, if you're spiritually minded, God said, "I promise you, there's two things going to come out of it. There's going to be life and there's going to be peace." So as you become spiritual, stay with me now, you're going to add life to other people. You're not going to be killing them in their faith. You're not going to be putting your wife or your husband or your children through misery as you're putting death in that which is the family over and over and over as your children stand by and watch you kill, if you would please, preciousness between them and you. And so many times children are just reaching out. And all they're saying is, I want your attention. Will you just give me your..." And I'm not saying that all kids are good kids. I'm not saying that. I would be ignorant to believe it. But a lot of children are just wanting attention. A lot of children is just wanting somebody to take time with them, somebody give them explanation, somebody to give them guidance, somebody to help them make right decisions, somebody to walk before them so that they can follow. Don't kill your kids. You give that which is to the Spirit, and you allow the Spirit to work in you and through you. And as that happens, what takes place in your life is now God gives you that which is life and peace. Wait a minute, watch this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but for it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be." Verse 8, the Bible says in Romans 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So God says, as long as I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not pleasing Him. I'm not pleasing Him. Go ahead and criticize the Bible, but you're not pleasing God. Hey, go ahead and be somebody, if you would please, that's tearing apart the very fabric in which by you were saved. What you're doing is you're walking in the flesh and you're going to get the end result of the flesh. Hey, your kids deserve to see a spiritual daddy. Your kids deserve to see a spiritual mama. Your kids deserve to see somebody sitting in the pew listening to a man of God. By the way, the more that you take and you're in the right place at the right time and they see that you're submitting to a holy God, the more chance it'll be later on that they submit themselves to a holy God. Our children will do more what we do than what we say that they ought to do. See, that's how come the Bible says, "Taste of the Lord and see that He is good." Somewhere along the line, dear beloved, you have got to put a good taste in your children's life for God. You have to. Because one day you will be gone. One day it's going to be over. Can I remind you that children grow up very quickly? Jonathan, I remember when he was just a baby. Now he's 27. Josh, 25. Jared, 22. 21. Rebecca, 18. And can I tell you, they grow quick. If I went to Jonathan today and say, look, we need to retrain you. I'm going to train you all over again. It's too late. If I go to Joshua and say, son, it's time to retrain you. It's too late. As the kids get older, they develop, stay with me, an independent type of spirit. You'll find out as you train your children, they become more about what they want to do than about what you want them to do. Well, that's not right. It's a natural process. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. But at the very same time, would it not be better to take a child and to put the right principles in their life while they're young, so that when they do become old, you don't lay in bed awake at night bawling your eyes out because you failed? Oh, come on. I'm not a great ball player. But to be able to get out there and play ball and give it my best shot is better than not participating. Hello? I'm not a great soul winner. But to get out there and give it my best shot and helping a lost and dying world see their need of Jesus Christ is better than not trying at all. I'm not a great preacher. But to be able to stand behind a pulpit and be yielded to God so that God can work and me out of the way. Me out of the way. So that God, yes, can come down and be able to work through the preacher, through the Word of God, to be able to help dear people, then that's worth it all. Can I tell you tonight that we have to be careful about that thought life? We have to be careful that we think on the right things. Can I tell you tonight, it is very important the way that you control, direct, and handle your thoughts. Statement number one, why? Because you become what you think upon. Statement number two, why? Because you will build a treasury to draw from. Good or bad, a treasury. By the way, you become known by what you speak about. I know people in the church say, man, I love to be around so-and-so. Man, they're always encouraging me. They're always helping me. They're always strengthening my faith. And then I have other people in the church say, I can't stand to be around so-and-so because after all, they're always negative. By the way, you could change that. Because what is in the heart does come out. Why don't you just start putting the right things in the heart so the right things come out? What you're showing publicly, who you are, is who you are in private. And apparently you're feeding yourself with the wrong stuff. So start feeding yourself. Oh, come on. You get more mileage out of your husband if you were more positive and less negative. When he comes home, I can't believe you're late again. I've had supper on the stove. You should have called. Why didn't you call? Don't you love me? Don't you care about me? Well, you know, what's he going to do? He's going to want to run from that. You know, I mean, come on. You know, what if he comes home late? Couldn't you be nice and say, hey, honey, I was really worried about you. You know, normally you're on time and you were 30 minutes late. Boy, that traffic must have been horrendous. How you doing? Walk over, start giving him a massage. On his shoulders. Yeah, right. You guys start saying amen. That's all right. I'm coming your way next. Oh, what about the poor wife? I mean, she's home all day long. You're out there riding through the countryside. Birds are waving at you. Yeah. Clouds all around you. Yeah, you're right. You got your window down, elbow out, cruising through the countryside. Hey, your wife is chasing two kids around the block, and they're not even hers. Man, you know, you come home and you get there, late, and all of a sudden now the kitchen is a wreck. By the way, it was the same wreck when you left. And you walk in and you say, wait a minute. I'm the king. She's going to take a baseball bat to your head. What I'm saying is, let's think some things through a little bit. Let's be somebody that gives a little bit of grace. Brother Nash uses the word a space for grace, or grace space. How do you say it? Space grace. So why does he say that? Because he needs a lot of that. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that as we walk in the flesh or as we walk in the spirit, we choose that. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 16, the Bible says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S talking about Holy Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, in verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So the flesh is always pulling you down, can I help you, to fleshly manhood. But the Spirit is always trying to lift you up out of that fleshly, humanistic type of thinking that is going to have the end thereof, which is death. But that Spirit is trying to get you to go forth. Here's what the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, they that are of Christ, the Bible says, have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. So God says that we're supposed to take that flesh and we're supposed to crucify it. We're supposed to mortify it. We're supposed to put it to death. Now, by the way, that's by choice. Amen. And can I help you tonight? Just because you think it doesn't always mean that it's wise to say it. Amen. Statement number one, we become what we think upon. Statement number two, we build a treasury by what we think upon. Statement number three, we walk in the flesh or in the spirit by the choices in which we make our thinking upon. Statement number next, and almost done, in our mental warfare, understand that Satan wants to control. He wants to control. If I had a show of hands tonight, I think it would really shock. But how many people have been driving across a bridge and all of a sudden it hits your mind, drive off the bridge? It would shock. You know why? Because Satan is trying to mess you up. Because if Satan can take you out, then no more can you bring glory to God. If Satan can ruin your life, no more can you serve Jesus Christ. Now, he'll bring a lot of people in your life that tries to distract you. That's how come the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul warning about, he says, who hath hindered you? Who hath hindered? There's some who's that hinder you. They hinder your faith. They hinder your trust factor. They hinder, if you would please, the very way in which you serve Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, it says we do war after the flesh. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It says, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting, it says in verse 5, the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. If there's an opportunity to obey Christ and not obey Christ, every time, don't think about it. You just pull that mighty stronghold down and you just decide, I will obey Christ. Amen. Let Christ be the one that has preeminence in your life. Statement number next, and I'm done. So we must make the choices of what we think upon. We have to. We have to. You choose how you think. You are at, if you would please, the center station, the control panel. And you choose how you think. So choose it well. The Bible says over in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full The Bible talks about having received of Epaphroditus. The Bible says the things which are sent unto you. It says an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. You choose it. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is it. You choose it. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, and we will end where we began, where the Bible says, keep thy heart through all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep it. Guard it. Guard it. Because that's the decision maker. Guard it. Guard it. Don't read garbage. Why? Because garbage in, garbage out. Don't put the wrong type of stuff in. The negativity, that which comes in, that which you put in, you feed yourself, will determine the way that you are. You can eat the wrong thing and it'll kill you. You can eat the wrong thing and it will weaken you. You can eat the wrong thing and it will illy affect you. The same thing is true about your mind. You can put the wrong things in there. And it will literally destroy you. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So are the things you're thinking acceptable in his sight? Ask yourself the question. You ever do something and say, well, I shouldn't have did that? Because what is people going to think if they saw me doing that? The testimony of Christ is at jeopardy. The testimony of your church, the testimony of those that name the name of Christ all around, I shouldn't have did that. You ever do that? It might be because we didn't think it through. One last verse. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says that we should be to the praise, it says to the praise of his glory. That says who first trusted in Christ. And can I tell you, as you study the apostles, as you study different ones that went through martyrdom, never one time did they say, I recant. What did they do? They counted it joy. Joy. If they counted that joy, then why do you lose your joy over something that is less than martyrdom? Is it that we're so weak-minded? Is it that our character for that which is stability in Christ is so weak? Well, you know, I can't come to church on Sunday night because after all, I'm tired. Well, for some reason, I don't know if that is really an excuse. We don't treat our business that way. Yet Christ died for the church. Now, it used to be that people would come to church no matter what. Church was a top priority. It used to be the old houses of God would fill up before church ever began. People couldn't wait to get in. Then all of a sudden, the television comes on the scene. All of a sudden, all the multimedia comes on the scene. All of a sudden now, we have cell phones and we're busy doing business 24 hours a day and we're not ever left alone. And then we say, well, I tell you what, I'm just so wore out during the week that I just can't make it to church. For some reason, I just don't see how that pleases the Lord when we use lame brain excuses, when we could rearrange our lives. It used to be that preachers would get up and they would preach a fire and brimstone about be saved and receive Christ, and Christ is the only way. And boy, I tell you what, they'd preach and boy, people would get saved. Now, wait a minute, watch this. It used to be we put great emphasis on salvation. Many people would get saved. And boy, do I thank God for the emphasis here. But it used to be that we would come to church because there was also a great emphasis that was controlled by Dad. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're still the priest of the home. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're going to give an answer for God, to God, for how you lead your family. Why don't we decide as men that we will rise and we will lead the family the right direction? Where does it start? Right here. Right here. It starts when we decide that, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure that I give Christ everything that is within me. Every fiber of energy. So, well, that's just for the preacher. Show me that in the book. Well, that's just for the missionary. Show me that in the book. Well, that's just for the full-time Christian service. Don't, no, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. You can't show me that in the book. See, God expects the same out of you as you being obedient to Him, as He expects out of me, as I am obedient to Him, as those guys that sit on a platform or those guys that teach a Sunday school class. He expects us all to be obedient. And He has a standard of obedience. Look, you don't go down and work for some corporation or some company and say, I'm coming here, and I just want you to know I'm going to set my own standards of what the way I'm going to do it. You won't last. God has standards, if you will, please, measurements, if you will, please. You say, well, not all churches have these same type of measurements. That's how come you have a Bible. One good thing I love about our church is we do it according to the Bible.
Amen.
It's not according to a man's philosophy or something. No, it's in the book. So if it's in the book, then I don't really care what any other church does because I've got a book.
Amen.
It's called a Bible.
Amen.
All right? So what we do is we go by the standards, the measurements that God places in this book, and I can tell you for sure I sleep good at night. I can rest my head on my pillow at night because I know, I'm fully persuaded that we've taught the book. Now, so it's not that I don't sleep well when somebody doesn't obey the book. I don't sleep well maybe because of the fact I have a burden for them. But the book doesn't change. Well, there's been many a time that I'd get on my knees in my office and I'd say, now, dear God, I've done everything I can to influence that person for right. They're using this excuse, this excuse, this excuse. But God, these are one of your kids. But God, you're going to have to work on your kid because I can't do no more. I am powerless to do beyond that which is the measurement of influence that you've allowed me to have in their life. Therefore, I need you, God, as a holy God, to do a work in their heart as one of your children. And by the way, when I get up from praying for that person or that family, I have a total peace. It's just a total, it's like the Lord says, okay, Mike, where you left off, I'm going to pick up. And I'm going to work in their heart. See, He can work in your heart when you're driving down the road, and I'm not there. He can work on your heart as your. That's how come I'm so pleased about what God is doing at our church. Is it's growing and it's not one of these. But I'm so pleased to see here's a family joining here and here's a family joining here and here's somebody surrendering to preach over here and here's somebody coming to my office and saying, preacher, when I graduate, will you help me to start an independent Baptist church and help me to plant a church? And then here's somebody else coming to my office and saying, boy, God's been working on me about being a missionary and I can't wait to go to the mission field and to get started with what God has for me. And here's somebody else coming to my office and saying, preacher, I believe God's going to keep me right here at Parkside Baptist Church and I'm planning on starting this business and this company and I want to be a corporate head and I've got this dream and how I can take and help our church to be able to get buses all over the Dallas Metroplex and I'm so excited about how God is going to use me in the future to help you to be able to reach out to those people around this area and beyond. And can I tell you, God working in people and God is continuing to work in people, that's the very goodness of God.
Amen.
But it doesn't happen if you don't submit your mind to Christ. It doesn't happen. We have to be willing to say, God, whatever you want. God, I submit my mind to you. And I want to take and be able to be used of you to do your will. And that's when God really begins to work.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.